is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cross.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
So just bow down your head and say, "The Lord, open my eyes to see." In the next 30 seconds, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Let's see Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. So the fourth point in our discourse on the atonement is reconciliation. As I said, Kweku, I told you guys that all these things we are listing out, it's not as if you come have this one, then later you had this experience. No. Many times, all of these things can happen in just 5 minutes of your giving your life to Christ. Are you getting the point? But I said, and you should know, concerning spiritual things, you have to be conversant with what actually happened to you and what you possessed. The weakness that the believer suffers subsequently, even after receiving God and being born into the family of God, is many times hinged upon the fact that even though he has been given something that has the ability to subdue, defeat, and rule over every other thing that he got to face in this life, he will still be subservient and he will still suffer. Suffering not because God has not given him victory in that matter, but because he lacks the knowledge, understanding, and the wisdom to make what is his by position, by possession, something that is his by experience. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Imagine somebody telling you, "I'm looking for a kind of person here. But all the people that is here are very privileged. Huh? I'm looking for somebody in this front seat that his father has died, like me. I know your father has died. This man, look at the man on yellow. And Mr. Tear the Gate. Because I came to the burial. Except he has risen." Amen. Just imagine bank, First Bank, calling you now and telling you, that your father left 100 million before he died. I hope you know that knowledge makes all the difference. That you can live and die a poor person, though your father left 100 million for you, simply because you didn't know. Guess what? I can assure you that no bank will tell you. They'll be using your money too. Sorry if you're a banker, or I'm not against you, I'm for you. But that's just the fact. In fact, what I found out is that if you have significant money in the bank and you want to remove it, they will not allow you. Like, not by force anyway. But they will be looking for ways. Let's assume I want to pay you 20 million now in a bank. I want to pay you, or somebody wants to pay you 20 million. The bank will find a way to convince you to open account with them so that 20 million will not leave their bank. I hope you know. Banks doesn't want their money to leave. You need knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, even your money in the bank will not be spent. And you need to know that everything that concerns the believer in the new covenant is fundamentally like money in the bank. Say after me, money in the bank.
Money in the bank.
I'm not hearing your response. Say after me, money in the bank.
Money in the bank.
How many of you watch wrestling? My wife shocked me this morning. She said she likes wrestling. My God, wrestling. Now, how many of you know wrestling? I know that McD will like wrestling. Huh? You like wrestling, Abby? Obviously. You know the one that was called Royal Rumble that time?
Yes, sir.
Many of you, when you watch wrestling, it's almost fake. When we started watching wrestling small, is the days of, how many of you know who is called Warrior? Hulk Hogan. How many of you know? It's those guys. I saw some people that is doing wrestling now. They are like ladies. Say, what is? I vowed not to watch wrestling again. Can't catch me there. The days when wrestling was wrestling. Shawn Michaels. How many of you remember? There is a particular one that is called Money in the Bank. You remember? They will now hang the money up and put a ladder to climb up. Come and climb now. Come and climb. Some of you have seen it. They will keep fighting. There is one, the guy was almost there. Somebody struck him, he fell down. Say after me, money in the bank. It's different from money spent. Say after me, money in the bank. It's
different from money spent.
If you think I'm joking, enter boss. Just enter boss like this for monitor. How much are they paying now for monitor? Is it 300, 250? What? 700. One what? Jesus Christ. I used to pay 30, 40 naira to get on it. Yes, and I even paid a lot. People that went earlier. And it's not too long. I'm not old. I'm young. It's not too long ago. Just about 20, 20-something years ago. That's all. These guys. I think I'm getting old. Sorry. I just said I'm not old. I calculated. It was up to 20 years. I can't do anything about it. But the fact remains that it was fought. Even on the worst day. And those days, upper worker, there is always hold up morning, night, every day. So they increase the fares, all kinds of things. In fact, from where did they carry yourself from? You enter bus, Oguta Road, and it will drop you at upper worker. Then you come to down flyover. I know you don't know, so I'm intentionally telling you. When they drop you to down flyover, you don't enter a bus coming to Nail. Maximum on a worst day, 15 naira. And if I enter 50, my mother will not forgive me. She will be querying me why I did not price it down. Are you getting the point? Just imagine if you enter that bus and you came to drop here, because they normally drop here those days, and you drop here, you say, hey, I don't have money with me, but I'm a millionaire. You are not hearing me. I don't have money with me here, but trust me, I'm a millionaire. Huh? I'm going to even pay you 2,000 naira. The way they are going to deal with you, are you getting the point? Money in the bank is fine, but the most important thing is the liquidated cash. The first requirement to liquidate the inheritance that we have in Christ is revelation, is insight. Are you getting the point? You don't know, you don't know. And I hope you know that head knowledge is good, but the fundamental kind of knowledge that we speak about is revelation knowledge. Say after me, revelation knowledge. Thank God. What kind of knowledge did I say we need? Revelation knowledge. Let me hear you. Say after me, revelation knowledge.
Revelation.
Again.
Revelation.
Again.
Revelation.
It's not all of us saying it. Again.
Revelation knowledge.
That's better. Revelation knowledge. And that is why we need to pray. Several times, filling your head with the scripture, you heard the cry of the guy that was doing opening prayer. It was a cry. It's a cry that came from the depth of his being. Because like you and me, somebody like Baye is very intelligent. Everybody I spoke to said that book is worrying you. I know you might not. Do they speak pidgin in Cameroon? Book, they worry this man. But demons are not aware of so many books. They even like to afflict you with so much head knowledge so that you'll be so frustrated with your life. Satan likes to make caricature of people that is supposedly ahead in life by what they have acquired. If you're with me so far, say amen. So the fourth one is reconciliation. Reconciliation is peacemaking. In fact, in certain aspects of the scripture, you will see the word peacemaking or peace as a synonym that is used to replace this word reconciliation. Reconciliation. Now, the word reconciliation and peace is not exactly what it means in a natural context, but it's close. But let me make an attempt. Because when you say reconciliation, or you say we make peace, what people think is reconciliation. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
What people think reconciliation is probably we don't talk, we don't, you know, and then you reconcile the two of us. That's not necessarily what reconciliation is. You following me? It is that, but much more than that, in the spiritual context. Reconciliation in a spiritual sense is more about harmony and alignment than serenity. That's what I put here. So when you say, have you seen, you told somebody, I want peace, just give me peace. What you meant is, let the person stop disturbing you, stop harassing you, or stop causing trouble. In a spiritual sense, it is bigger than that. When man sinned, there was chaos. Are you with me? Now, we got disaligned with God. The representation of that was even manifest in the visible creation. I hope you know his man that named all the animals. Try it. Go and meet the lion at the zoo. I heard one zookeeper, the lion that he was keeping, ate him in. Is he UI? Either UI or OAU. OAU. The lion ate his keeper. Lion. And I believe that man must have given him food sometimes. What makes a lion eat? I know they told you that a lion doesn't eat grass. Is it true? You have never seen lion that ate grass. I saw one in a video one time. I'm not sure to be a carnivore is part of the original template of a lion. Are you getting the point? But when man sinned, there was chaos. Listen to me, listen. Have you heard people ask this question? Why do bad things happen to good people? It's because of the chaos of sin. Things that would have responded the way they would have, if there was no fall, they became rebellious. The rebellion of man did not just affect man, it affected creation. Are you getting the point? So that even if God wants to relate with man, and man wants to relate with God, there is no meeting point. Are you getting the point? There is no peace. There is no peace here doesn't mean that the anger of God is so strong that he doesn't want to relate with man. It means that even if he wants to, there is no connection. He can no more connect with the guy. Are you getting the point? It's like two people, maybe two people in a relationship, or husband and wife, that something happened. And when it happened, even when you say you have made peace with the two people, are you getting what I'm saying? You can make literal peace and the two of them might not be going for their neck or trying to kill each other. But you will find out something. That connection that was there is no more there. Are you getting the point? Now, I cannot say I have too much experience in relationship, but I know a lot of you have. Huh? There is a brother here that told us one day, with his permission, I share this again, that a damsel broke his heart. Have a damsel broken your heart before? You don't know what God has done for you. Have a damsel broken your heart? Don't lie. He has broken you. With all the way you are handsome and fair. That's why I tell you, listen to me. They will break your heart. If you don't give it to Jesus, they will break it. Have they broken your heart? With all your revelation of it, they don't break it. Have they broken your heart before? You don't know what God did for you. So everybody here is either you have broken or they have broken you. Because some of you people say you have, they have not broken you. You might have broken somebody's heart. It's still the same thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, even if we finally, after 5 years, get to meet that person that broke your heart in the university, that person you used to die for, the sugar in your what? The cockroach in your what? The what? Huh? Somebody was telling. The water in your what? The butter in your bread. If they put butter in, no be to shop them. No wonder they ate you down. Oh my God. Do you know you can meet that your butter in bread 5 years later? There is no more connection. That is what happened when man sinned. Even if you wanted to connect, God tried many times to connect back to man. I hope you know. He made several attempts. The record of which is littered through the scripture to connect back with man, and all of them was effort in futility. In fact, at the instance of his attempt on the Mount of Sinai, where he invited the children of Israel to come up to that mountain, that it is not enough that he relates with Moses only. As they were coming, God was coming in his normal way. The Bible said that the mountains quaked. The children of Israel told Moses, "They'll be going, we can't go." Now that, are you getting what I'm saying? That quaking mountains, that glory that struck there, the scripture told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that glory is less than the one you carry inside now. I'm not the one that said it. You know it now. He called it the glory that faded. How much more the glory that excelleth? That glory tabernacles inside. What they were running away from on the mountain, you now carry inside. So the problem now is not about how fierce and robust and whatever that was on that mountain. It is that there is no peace. If there is no peace, that glory they saw that was quaking the mountain, if there were peace, you would have been comfortable in it. Are you getting the point? That fire that would have burned and consumed them, that fire purifies us. It's the same fire. For the man that has peace with God, the things that hurt things and hurt others is at peace with you. Are you getting the point? You have to know this. When we say we have been reconciled to God, it means that the things that, you see, this is the way God is. The things of God is like two-edged sword. Are you getting the point? What do I mean by that? It is two-edged sword that is depending on who is relating with it and from which side. The same things in God that can make you better can kill another person. I hope you know that the glory we pursue can kill. Do you know? The glory we pursue can kill, but it can only kill somebody that doesn't have peace with God. The person that has peace with God, his the fuel that burns inside of him is the glory. Are you getting where I'm going now? So that's the point. When we say that we have God, that there is peace between we and God now, we fundamentally mean that all those disconnect and disalignment has been aligned. So let's assume it's a connection. It is now a square peg in a square hole. All the while, God has been trying to connect. He could not. He could not because He cannot connect. He can't join. There is no peace. There is no connection. If you heard me so far, say amen. Another thing is harmony. I hope you know that the spirit operates on the frequency is harmony. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the greatest things that sin causes is disharmony between you and God. If not, why will you need to go and pray to hear God? That is why in this New Testament, when you are born again, we emphasize on the ministrations of God within our inner man. Because some of the things that you call intuition and impression, have you? You said, I perceive God. How many of you? You perceive. That thing called perception is actually you hitting the frequency of God's broadcast. Are you getting the point? Like, God is broadcasting on channel 99.1. But when you got born again, the most important thing is that you are now on the frequency. Say after me, I'm on the frequency. It's like AM and FM. When you got born again, let's assume that FM is God's frequency. When you got born again, you are on frequency. You are on FM frequency. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are always on the exact channel. Hello?
Hi.
Are you following my literal?
Yes,
trying to make this. Now, what you call intuition, impression, and perception is actually you suddenly connecting to an FM. I remember those days that what we used to enjoy those days is actually FM radios. That's how we play music. I don't know about you, to put one song at Emekofor Plaza at Onitsha those days is 50 naira, 20 naira. Many of you remember. I know you don't remember. Where you see money? Are you getting the point? So the way they enjoy songs is on radio. In fact, those days, songs are recorded from radio stations as he was playing. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes we'll be tuning, checking the stations, looking for the one that will be playing what we want. Are you getting the point? That's what the believer does. You'll be checking. So sometimes when you arrive someplace in your studies, fasting or prayer, you can hit a frequency. That frequency is not necessarily trying to woo you. You enter there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Had it been you didn't hit that frequency, that broadcast can be lost. What did I say? Had it been you didn't hit that frequency, that broadcast can be lost. So just because you did not get the frequency didn't mean that the broadcast stopped. It was always on. And what you were trying to listen to might pass before you get there. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So when a man catches a burden in the spirit, he hit a frequency of the spirit. It's a frequency. There are frequencies for spiritual burden. There are frequencies for spiritual hunger. There are frequencies of spiritual broadcast. The voice, the intuition, the perception. All these are possibilities in Christ because we have been brought in the same bandwidth with the heavens. What was not possible in God, in us rather, before Jesus came. Are you getting it? So in atonement, there was a reconciling. So when somebody tell you, let's reconcile, it is not necessarily because you and the person is an enemy. To reconcile means you are trying to tell the person, let's be on the same page. You understand? We need to reconcile. Let's be on what? The same page. That is fundamentally what reconciliation means in God's context, in atoning, in sacrificial context, in salvific context. It is being on the same page with God. That is not possible. In fact, there is even no basis for you being on the same page with God. There is no possibility of union. The only possibility of union is in Christ Jesus. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Are you learning?
Yes, sir.
So when the scripture said that we are reconciled, it means that God brought us on the same page with him. Now we can journey. Huh? It's like an aircraft that took off on a journey without connecting to the command tower. I can assure you that aircraft will be lost. Are you getting the point? You know, before, I have to go and read up concerning this. Not necessarily read. I watched a few YouTube videos. So, you know, before I used to think, many of you think like me, that the way the captain was, a pilot drives an aircraft, is that he'll be doing like this as we are driving here. How many of you, you think that's what you think? Stop lying. He will not be driving it. You will crash. That is what we call autopilot. Autopilot is a possibility because of the fact that we have a few technological advancements. And then because some things are woven into the natural universe. One of it is the ability to detect where somebody is, irrespective of how far the person is. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, we can, through the radar, determine where you are, as long as you are connected to the command tower. Hello? So, even if God send you an assignment upon the face of the earth, if you like, travel anywhere, go anywhere, that is a command tower that beams. Oh, some of you think you are appearing before God with your baby. That's why many times the scripture enjoins us to de-emphasize on how we look physically. Because God doesn't really notice. If you become the most beautiful person on earth, it doesn't really matter to God. What he's seeing when he sees you first, at least the first thing he sees, is not those ones. I'm telling you, is that beaming. There is a facility that reads in the spirit. It's like a lamp. It's a lamp. It's indicating all the things happening to you. I tell you, when you appear before God, if you are correct, you will appear like a lamp of fire. That's how you will appear. You don't appear as a man. You appear as a lamp of fire. And there are several things around that lamp that is indicative of everything about your life. So we can look at that lamp and know whether it's healthy or not. Are you getting the point? It is with the reading of that lamp that we can know that something bad has already been seeded in you, even before there is a manifestation. And then nothing has happened. And God will tell you, go on a 3 days fast so that there will be a purging. Why? The judging lamps of God within you has already kicked into work. And it has picked something and knew that something can go wrong on your journey with God if it is not addressed now. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That's how God reads. So autopilot puts something on pilot. Auto. You will not believe this. And actually sleep off many times. Like literally sleep. Why are human beings like this? You enter bus. Trust that driver with your life. You were smelling the alcohol. And you know, no, you still trusted him with your life. Hello? You enter, which one again? Bike. One day I entered the bike when the guy was drunk to stupor. I don't know how we didn't have accident. You enter aircraft, relax. Me, you even slept. As you are sleeping, what you didn't know is that the pilot also what? Then God told you, trust me, you cannot. But you trusted the pilot that slept on earth. He slept. Trusted him with your life and destiny. You have already planned the next 10 years of your life and trusted it in the hands of somebody that slept. Like I read about one airline. I don't want to call their name because people, they said they slept and overshot where they were going. They kept going, kept floating, kept. You trusted him with your life. Anything they tell you, you do. Buckle your seatbelt. Do this one. You are telling us that thing. Can he save you? God said, My son, wait for me. I'm coming in 6 months. He said, Lord, I have tried though. I'm already 31. Who will marry me? Meanwhile, God has told you, trust me. Huh? You trusted the university to give you a job after going to school. How many years have you given them in the university? Some of you have given 10 years. Somebody like Mark has gone to school till book is smoking on his head. School. Someone like Ikweze. Someone like Sister Faustina. Book. Someone is after me, book. I like books. In fact, they brought for me one big, very big box of books. I can't trust that thing. If I read everything, that's how I teach. No matter how much I study, it is to make myself competent in knowledge. If I appear, I still beg God. In fact, I told my wife something while the prayer was going on. The last jigsaw in this, my teaching, came during that prayer. I rushed in and wrote it down. Because as I'm studying, I know many things, but how many of you have studied? That is not there. The scriptures are there. That jigsaw is missing. And I don't want to use my hand and put it. Because if you use your hand and put it, if you are teaching, it will hook you. And you cannot lie. If you want to be a true to yourself and true to doctrine, you cannot drive to certain points that you can't. You have to abandon it. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
As I was praying, I said, God, you see, if I don't know it, I will stop here. As we are praying, we got to some point. He told me, this is it. I rushed to write 1, 2, came. Wrote 2, 3, came, 4, 5. In 5 minutes, I will keep trusting God. Keep trusting your father. Keep trusting yourself. Keep trusting your skills. You know that meandering? I surrender to Jesus. Even if I lose, it's better to lose obeying God. So after me, reconciliation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that we are sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by what? Wicked works. Let's read together. 1, 2, ready, go. Everybody. 1, 2, ready, go. Verse 22. Give me 21. And you that we are sometime what? Alienated. This is a hard word to crack anyway, but let's just make it simple. Huh? How many of you have watched American movies of aliens? It means that these men are dwelling in a totally different realm and possibility. A different world. Say after me, a different world.
A
different possibility. Say after me, a different possibility.
A different possibility.
There is nothing that connects you to this guy. They are alien. This thing is alien to us. There is no connection. What feeds you is not what feeds us. What we crave is not what you crave. What we breathe is not what they breathe. The means of survival in the moon, not too far from here. I'm not just speaking as a scientist. It's close compared to others. Am I correct? Not too far from here. The ecosystem there, the atmosphere cannot support life. Like, are you getting it? It's an alien realm. Not just because of the people that live there, but because of even the atmosphere. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There is an atmosphere you had before you came into Christ that has nothing in it that can support the new life that you have. And the new life that you have in Christ Jesus and the atmosphere of it cannot support the former life that you have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Both is a learn. And you that were alienated and enemies were in your mind by wicked works, yet now had he what? Reconciled. You are not getting the point. There is no basis of agreement. Huh? There is no basis. The thing is not agreeing. It's not that it is hard. It cannot work. It doesn't agree. Hello? Hello? There is no agreement. There is no meeting point. You are trying to feed that thing what cannot work. You are trying to give it what it doesn't feed on. Are you getting the point? How? What example will I use now? What does trees feed on? Huh? I don't know what you people are saying. It's carbon monoxide that I know. Which one do you people say? Huh? Dioxide. CO2, Abby. Listen, are you getting the point now? Why is oxygen will not help that plant? It gives us oxygen as waste. I hope you know. You are now picking the picture. The plant is giving off oxygen as waste. That's what you drink. That's what you need to survive. You are giving off CO2 as waste. That's what is need. So that means to give that thing what you like is to kill it. There is no connection. There is no reconciling. It can't be reconciled. But in Christ, we were reconciled. Suddenly, man can eat the food of God. The things that God craved, you began to crave it. That is not possible within the environment of the natural man. Since when did men start looking for God, seeking God? Have you forgotten? When we came to the book of Genesis, and the Bible said, see, from the day of Enos, men began to call up. It looks as if it's a big announcement that men can now call upon God. There is no point of agreement. But in Christ, you were reconciled. There is something in you now that hungers for the things that is spiritual. A natural man doesn't hunger for that. It is because of reconciliation. Sometimes it's not as if you need anything, but you just want to pray. A natural man does not just want to pray. I hope you know. A natural man, even a carnal man does not want to pray. Talk more of a natural man. Are you getting what I'm saying? But a spiritual man wakes up one day and you just want to pray. No prayer point. You just, as you are praying, something is happening to you. You are communing. You are fellowshipping with God himself. Oh my God, I feel something. You are blessed so far. Say amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5 verse 10. So as we read in the book of Colossians, and as you are seeing here, this reconciliation was not possible outside of a sacrifice, outside of death. Is it not true? In fact, it mentioned it specifically. For if, when we were enemies, there is literally nothing different from this and what we read before. It mentioned that we are alienated, we were enemies. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more. Say after me, much more.
Much more.
I didn't hear you. Say after me,
much more.
Okay, shout. Shout it, much more.
Much more.
You need to say something so that even if it didn't enter your heart, let it enter your mind. Let it enter. Record it. Say after me, much more.
Much more.
He said, we were enemies, but now we were reconciled to God. He now said much more. That means there is something actually beyond that reconciliation, as we are going to get there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can you follow the logic of the scripture? He said, for if it is true that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, after this reconciliation, that much more than it, are you getting the point? There is a saving by his life. As we get to see. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Let's add one more verse. And not only so, but we also joy in God through Christ Jesus, by whom we have now received what? I didn't hear you. We have received what? I told you these things are captured within the atonement. In fact, in many places in the scripture, these words that I use can be used interchangeably, but they are not specifically meaning the same thing. So you can get to a place where what they meant by reconciliation is salvation. What they meant by reconciliation is atonement and all that. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that is not, if you want to do proper labor in the scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, divide the scripture well, you have to put it in place. There is a reconciliation. There is a harmony. Aside the fact that God is not pleased, after being pleased, there is an alignment that you need to have. Basic alignment. That is what we call union. Are you getting it? It is the basis of union. Union is, we are now at the same frequency with God. Reconcile. We have found the frequency of God. We found the frequency of God in that reconciliation. The frequency. So all men that has been searching for God, Buddhism is a search of divine frequency. You can't find it. Islam is a search of divine frequency. I hope you know. You can't find it. Your traditional religion is a search of divine frequency. What another religion? Judaism is a search of divine frequency. Divine frequency can only be found where? In Christ. That is what is reconciliation. God brought you back to that frequency. Not because of your works, but because of what Jesus did. Not because you earned it, but because of grace. Not because you ever earn it, but because Jesus has paid to the uttermost. Not because you are going to work to deserve it, but because you extended your faith. Not because after receiving it, you will now keep working about it, but because what you receive will be working in you as you yield to it. Are you getting the point? If God gave you something by grace, you can only keep it by grace. If something came by grace, it can only be operated by grace. Several times, Satan might not be able to stop us from receiving something initial, the initial ministry of the grace of God in the heart of a believer. That one is easy. It's easier to understand, even though it was an issue before, but these days it's easy. But there is something else, something bigger than that. And that is this. God also wants you to live the life of faith by grace. Or like, you know, when we say life of faith, Holy Spirit. When you got born again, there is something we call the faith. It is also called the life. But it can best be called the life of faith. So after me, the faith. The faith is not, I have faith for something. That's not what we mean by the faith. The faith is a life. Are you getting what I'm saying? The faith is a life. So we can call it the life of faith. We can call it the living faith. We can call it also the life. The reason why faith and life can interchange here is that life came because of faith. In fact, what you actually held and called it life was faith. The only thing you can hold is faith. Huh? But when you held that faith, it is interpreted in its realm of reality. There is a reality that captured the substance that you held. And in that realm, what you held was what? Life. You are correct. But what you interacted with, the means is what? Faith. But what he held is what? So you can call that faith what? So life, faith. That's what I needed to know. That's not where I'm going now.
Are you getting the point? Can you follow me now? That faith that you received is actually powered by grace. There is nothing is in your scripture, Ephesians. There is nothing that you work to deserve it. And that is why it is faith. Guess what? If you receive the faith, which is life, if it is by grace, through faith, by grace, through faith, you sustain it also by the same what? By the same grace. This is where Satan tricks you. You receive by grace, sustained by works. You receive by grace, sustained by struggle. Struggle. And I need you to know that sometimes God allows us to struggle. Struggle, in a sense, is not totally bad. Have you noticed that sometimes you wake up, even prayer, you struggled a day? If you are wise, you should cherish it. You know why? That kind of struggle is a reminder to you that you should continually lean on grace. Are you getting the point? Once you struggle, it makes you to lean on grace. If you kept doing and there is no sign that there is any struggle, something somewhere in you will be telling you that you are now there. Are you getting the point? And then you keep pushing it as if you are the one pushing it. That struggle pushes you back to reaffirm your commitment to being powered by grace. Are you getting it? It is because you struggle that you told God, help me. Sometimes you know yourself. We all human. We are more often than not, we are like that. If you did not struggle, you will not beg God to help you. It is because you stepped out and struggled. When you now struggle, you say, ah, God, this night I need to pray. Oh. Meanwhile, you have already prayed for 30 minutes and nothing worked. You don't. You prayed for 30 minutes and it was not working. You were not ascending. Nothing was happening. It was bouncing from the ceiling down. You now say, Lord, I come by grace. Help me, oh, help me, oh. When you now cry for 10 minutes, boom, it opened. They want to remind you. Never get to the point where you trust yourself. Never get to the point where you trust your effort. Never get to the point where you trust what you can do by yourself. Will you do something? Yes. Who is doing it? God in you. What does it mean for God in you to do something? Grace. What is the name of that thing that makes God in us to do work? It is grace. So Paul said, I labor more than you all. So we are not removing labor. He said, yet, not I. Who is doing it? He said, the grace of God that is at work. Where? In me. Are you learning? Are we making progress? So this is the four. Let's enter. I said I would do a crash course. The second one. This second one will lead us directly to what we are dealing with. So the second one is regeneration. Say after me, regeneration. Regeneration. I didn't hear you. Say after me, regeneration. I didn't hear you still. Let's say it. One, two, ready, go.
Regeneration.
Again.
Regeneration.
Again.
Regeneration.
Again.
Regeneration.
If you forget anything, don't forget this. Several places in the scripture, especially in the book of John chapter 3. Regeneration can be also, born again can also stand for regeneration. Amen. Born again can also stand for what? Regeneration. So we are not just looking for word like here. There are a few other words in the scripture that stood for regeneration, especially if you check it in its original meaning. Are you following me? Are you following me? Very good. So when Nicodemus came to Jesus in the book of John chapter 3 and asked him some few questions. First of all, he gave him an appraiser, and Jesus rejected the appraiser, not because he hated the man or hated the appraiser, but because the man is outside the circumference that captures the reality of the person you want to appraise. Huh? It's just like somebody look at you, look at me. One day I was somewhere going. I've forgotten where I was going. Okay, I think I traveled out. I was coming back from a nation one time. And that nation, they have a lot of history. So anybody that is coming from there, they normally check you people well, very well. So they were checking others. They ransacking many things. Me, I was just dressed, you know, in our normal, traditional. As I was doing that, when the person that was checking came, he told me to stand on the thing. I stood. The thing moved around. I just came and stood. He said, I don't look like them. I should pack my thing. He said, are you a doctor? He said, are you a pastor? You are either a pastor or a doctor. Now, this is my point. He is trying to give me an appraiser from physical judgment. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you sure you are with me?
Yes.
There must have been something about me by his perception within the information that is available to her, within the abilities that is available to her, that has given her qualities of judgment, that has given her resources to judge. And from her judgment, she presumed that I must be either a doctor or a pastor. Are you getting the point? Now, the point is not about saying I'm a pastor or a doctor. I'm trying to explain John chapter 3, verse 1. Are you getting the point? He said, Master, nobody can do this thing except God be with him. Are the miracles there? Yes. Is what he said correct? Yes. Nobody can actually do these things except God be with him. But that man lacks the ability to appraise Jesus. His realm of existence far differs from his own. There is no connection. There is no basis. There is no foundation. There is nothing. He needs to be brought in first. His ability, his skills in judging whom Jesus is, appraising his stature in the spirit, is still another matter. But for you to be qualified to even journey on that path, you need to become a different kind of person. So he told him, you don't need to improve on yourself. You need to change into another person. Then you'll be qualified. So even if that man got to talk with Jesus for 1,000 years, yet he wouldn't know him. Because the knowledge of Jesus dwells in a different realm. Are you getting the point? If you like, eat with Jesus. Drink with him. Sleep with him. Wake up. You don't know him. That man, his reality is captured in the spirit. He said, okay, I have seen your desire. Your desire to give me an appraisal. But these things are not possible within your circumference. He said, except a man be born again. He cannot what? See. That means the requirements to bring appraisal to the person of Jesus is dependent on a perception. That word see is perceive. And the capacity to perceive is resting upon you being brought into the kingdom. There are senses and organs that is spiritual that gives you the ability to know whom the person is. Being that Jesus is not a physical human being, that his reality is captured in the spirit, that even though he was a man walking on the streets of Galilee, that was God himself. So if you want to know him, you have to enter his realm. So for you to be able to know him, the entrance into that realm, listen, he wants to know, he wants to perceive. And for him to perceive, he needs to enter the realm. Now, for you to appraise, you need to be able to perceive. For you to be able to perceive, you need to be able to be in that realm. Are you getting the point? So he said, I appraise you. Jesus said, no. If you want to appraise me, you have to have the eyes to actually see who I am. Unfortunately, within this environment, you can't have that eye. He said, be born again. At the instance of being born again, a man is brought into an environment where certain perceptions, certain abilities within you that you never knew were there will come up. Are you getting the point? That was what Paul meant in that book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. He said, it is not just Christ that we don't know in the flesh, even our fellow believers. He said, henceforth, no we, no man. No, we know man after the flesh. It is an effort in futility to know a man after the flesh. There are many people we are supposed to hate. There are many people we are supposed to bring down, denigrate. You look at him, probably he doesn't look the person, he doesn't look the part. Maybe he's young, maybe he's old, maybe he's not handsome. But henceforth, no we, no man. And many times God desires and stands strong on this matter, never willing to budge,
never willing to allow you even to access. Even if a man is anointed like this, it is still a law in the spirit that if you don't see that man spiritually, you will not benefit from his grace. That's what Elijah meant. If you see me when I'm caught up, there is an eye. That one is not given to anybody that you see on the street. It takes a spiritual walk. It is an act of God's mercy. Once God brings you to the point where you can see the man for whom he is, that thing that is captured within your sight will become your possession. Sight is possession in the spirit. You don't see for awareness in the spirit. You see for possession. In the natural, you see for awareness. In the spirit, you see to what? Possess. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if your eyes don't open, he will not even receive. Are you getting what I'm saying? What that man needs, he wants to interact with. He saw Jesus. He loved what he saw. But that thing he saw, Jesus knew that he cannot relate with that thing he saw. Are you getting the point? Are you with me? He said, I need your eyes to open. Do you want to know this aspect of me? You saw the great works. You saw the mighty works. You saw the great thing. Because he said, nobody can do this thing except God be with him. Jesus began to educate him. If you want to know the means through which this was done, if you want to know the reality that brings this to pass, stop praising me in the natural. Because that thing is not captured within anything that is in the natural. Come, let me take you on a journey in the spirit. It's a first part. You need to be born again. It is at that point that your spiritual eyes will be open. You will now know that what you need is not things, that I'm the one. That even though I look like a fellow human being to you, that I'm that Savior and Messiah that you seek. Oh my God. The next chapter in John revealed to us that Jesus was on a journey. I told you people about John. John was not just a chronicler. John was one that was careful to pen down the progressive journey of Christ, revealing his life and light to men that care to see. So after John chapter 3, you enter 4, you see the woman that is at the well. And Jesus began to dig. He is looking for one thing. He wants to show men that he is the Messiah. No matter what you see and know about him, if you don't know that, you didn't know anything. It takes being born again. It's an act of God. It's an act. That's the greatest act. So the same man, except verily, verily. He vowed. He said, except a man. I love you. I love you, my father, but except a man. I love you, my wife, but except a man. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. So the first one is what? Regeneration. If you are sick here, you are healed in the name of Jesus.
are too fast. Don't worry. Hey, 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 ah, ah, ah.
All things are possible.
Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration
When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. John chapter 3, verse 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except what? I didn't hear you. You are not following, you know. Should we stop? Except what? Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born what? Again. If you check the root meaning of this word here, being born again, you will see it's the same thing with regeneration. It actually means to regenerate. Are you getting the point? Another thing it means is to be born from above. Two things. Number one, what? Number two, what? Let's say it again. Number one, what? Number two. Number one. Write it. Number two. Don't forget this. Number one, what? Number two. Now, it is important you understand this, because even Nicodemus was confused with this concept. Am I correct? Verse 4, let's see. I'm coming back to verse 3. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? I'm not lying to you. Those days, I don't know when you, some of you, but those days when we used to go for one-on-one evangelism, we still do, but in the village kind of setting. One of the questions that is rampant is this question. You will not believe it. As much as it looks as if everybody should know this, it is not actually a common knowledge. How many of you, they have asked me, how can I now, I'm an old man. These younger people, they said, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his what? Mother's womb and be born. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
So born again is not necessarily born twice. Born again is being born from heaven, as I will show you. Now the womb is not a natural human womb. It's just that. Are you getting what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
It's just that Jesus is trying to relate with him. Relate to him exactly what is happening in the spirit. It is a regeneration. Now, when we say regeneration, it is, we are not saying we generated you and we are regenerating you again. We are saying we generated something. Huh? Then generated another one. So it means in a believer that there are two possible generations. There should be one. Are you people following?
Yes, sir.
There is a generation from the natural point of view, and there is a generation from a spiritual. That means you were generated two times. Every man that is born again was generated two times. First, he was generated from his mother's womb. Second, he was generated from the womb of Christ, from the womb of the Spirit. Are you getting the point? That second generation is what we call regeneration, or being born from where? From where? From where? Let's hear you. From where? Good. Never forget this. I think this is fundamental to our journey now. So I've entered into the critical part of the essential newness of the new creature, because this is actually what it means. Listen to me. Are you following me? We have achieved nothing significant. Hello? We have achieved nothing significant with all those things I listed for you from the atonement to this point. We have not yet achieved anything significant. It is at the point of regeneration that a real serious work was done, at least in a human point of view. Listen, all the requirements to do that work is in place. The price, the sacrifice. But if the work was not done, nothing serious has been done. Are you getting the point? That is a work. That is a work. Listen to me. Two things happen. Number one, you have to understand this. There are two principles that you should never forget when it relates to what it means for somebody to be born again and be in Christ. In the fundamental meaning context of what the scripture... Sarah, this is what is held in the scripture. First, we had Adam, and through Adam we had every other person. Am I correct? In the same way, we had Christ, and through Christ we had other people. You don't know what he meant yet. It means this, as you have heard me taught, that there is an old what? And then there is what? It will mean that all old creation came from who?
Adam.
Came from old man. Leave Adam first. All old creations came from who?
Old man.
Then all new creations came from who?
New man.
Listen, new man is not an individual. Can you hear what I'm saying? The new man is not an individual. The new man is Christ. Now, but you can't call Christ the new creation. I just hope you follow me. Are you following me?
Yes,
as simple as this thing I'm saying is, it makes all the, is the main thing, is the essentials of the new creation. You have to understand that we must have a new man before we can have a new creation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me explain further. What God did in Adam is that he created, then he made. They are not too far. They are not too far. But if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, you will see that God created man. But you now came to 2. What did he do in 2? He made man. They are not too different. Are you getting the point? It means that man has to have a reference point, a material with which it is built from. So even though man is created, we have to generate that new reality from an existing, there must be an existing material. So this is the point I'm telling. When you come to the new creation, if we did not have the new man, we cannot have where we can generate the new creation from. You didn't hear me? The new creation is possible because of the new man. If we didn't have the new man, the alternative we have to do the new creation is still the old creation. So we must have a material. We must have something from which we can work with. We need something to work with. We need a raw material to what? Work with. The only raw material available till the new man appeared, who is Christ, was the old man. So even if God wants to create again, he doesn't have a new material. So that means the possibilities of doing a new work has been there in the heart of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It has been there, and he was sourcing for the exact raw material that will be fitting to create. Are you getting it? So the new creation was not possible until we had the new man. That new man is not one person. It is a spiritual entity. It is the person of Christ. In the real sense, the new man is a copy. You getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
the new man is not an individual. The new man is a corporate representation. It is from that point, that reference point. Timothy, it is from the new man who is Christ that we now have the new creation, which is you. Are you getting the point? So that became the reference through which God I'm entering into the essentials. This is actually the essentials. The essential newness. The essential newness of the new creature is not just that God did another work. It is with what? With material. What is the material? What is the basis upon which? If God created another you and still used Adam, it has failed. So the labor from the time Adam failed till Jesus Christ appeared on the scene is to see if we can get what? The new man. Say after me, the new man. The new creation is resting upon the new man. Now, in some sense, they look the same. But if you study your scripture, you have to be a good student of the scripture. The new man is never attributed to individuals. Are you getting the point? The new man is not attributed to individuals. But the new creature can be attributed to individuals. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So this is the raw material. God must have his raw material. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So as I'm going to show you now, that is where the real fundamental level is. How can we get the new man who will consequently yield us the new creation? All the resources and raw materials we have cannot serve. Everything they can serve. Meanwhile, what the new creation will be, the possibilities and the potentials, what it is going to house is already in the heart of God. Because I hope you know, as I will yet show you, the new man, the new creation is not an improvement of the old. The new creation is a totally different order. Like what the new creation can do and can carry, the old can't carry it, even if you improve on it. At the best, the ultimate powers of the old, it can still carry it. Follow me now so that you understand. Let's assume we kept improving on the, it can still carry it. The new man is fundamentally structured, fabricated in such a way that he can carry things that could not have been carried before, as I will yet show you. So there are three aspects of this regeneration I want you to see. The first one is justification. So this thing I open and I will go further in it. First one is justification. The second one, I know I have taught something close to this. Justification. Number two, made alive. That is the third one I want you to add. Or have I told you? If I have told you people, no need now. We should close. Am I correct? Perfect.
No.
Should we close?
No.
But you already know it. If I listen, you can study it now. You are aware. Okay. So the first one is justified or justification. Number two, B, made alive. Number three, gifted life. You will see something essentially new in this matter. I know you have gone to do a little Bible. My brother, that makes all the difference. If you actually stumbled on this matter, it makes all the difference. God's labor is not just to make you new. He wants to give you something new that was never given before. Are you getting the point now?
Yes, sir.
That is why we needed this kind of morphology, this kind of person. But the major emphasis in many of our teachings many times is that God made us something new. There is a reason why he made us something new. The making us of new is because there is something he wanted to add that was not there before. And if he's going to put that thing, we have to be the kind of people that can carry that thing. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We have seen
So that is why there is a need for justification first. Then after justification, we are made alive. I will show you. Then after being made alive, we are gifted life. That means that there are two new things that happen here now. You were made alive and you were gifted life. Are you getting the point? We have to find out these essentials in the newness. Because it's not just enough to say, I'm a new creation. What are the essential newness that is actually in this new creation? That is about this new creation? Is it that I became a better person? That's why many people, they got born again. What they meant by being born again is to act better. You don't act better because you are born again. You are not active. I'm now born again. I act better. That life has no other way it can express itself except the way you are living. Are you getting? That's why. Oh my God. He that is born of God cannot sin. That is because of the essential newness of that life. Are you getting the point? That life, that it doesn't understand sin. I begin to doubt which life you received. If it is comfortable in sin, I begin to doubt it. Because he that is born of God. I will show you. Oh my God. If you are born of God, something in you totally fights sin. Something in you. Something in you can never stay around it. If you are born. Because you are born of God. God gave birth. That's what it means. God gave birth. To sin with that thing is to say that what God gave birth to has the ability in sin. In a sense, it's a reason to weep. What have I received? God gave birth, and that thing he gave birth. He can't sin. He didn't say it will defeat sin. He said he can't sin. There is nothing moving in it that can sin. Anytime you sin, that thing shut down. You have to shut that thing down. You have to silence it. You have to put it aside so that you can sin. Because that thing lacks the ability. When a man sins as a born again, it is not that new man. It's not that new creation is not the one that sins. He can't sin. You stepped away from it. You fellowshiped with Satan. If you force that new creation to sin, he can't sin. If you force it to fall, he can't fornicate. He doesn't have organs that respond to envy and malice. He doesn't have those organs. You will descend first to the flesh. It is the flesh that houses the... The flesh has the organs. Very matured, protruded, and trained. But that's why he doesn't have... He doesn't understand. I remember when my son, they gave birth to my son. You carry a handkerchief, put on his face. He will leave it there. It will be suffocating him. He will be crying. He actually thought that his mouth, everything is about his mouth. That his mouth captures all the need. So if anything that can be done with this is mouth, he feels cannot be done. That's how the new creation is. He doesn't understand sin. He doesn't understand weakness. You have to descend from the new creation to be sick. You know why I'm telling you this? All the things nailed on the cross of Jesus' atonement are the things that are permanently dealt with in context of the new creation. God wants to make sure that if I bring the new creation, there is nothing of the old that can still lay claims. Are you getting the point? By the atonement, he made sure of that. It is by one sacrifice that Jesus dealt with sin and sickness. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Are you following it now?
Yes, sir.
So he made sure he dealt with all the legalities that we still lay claims and say, we are still allowed in this chamber. He dealt with it by the blood of his cross. He nailed it to the cross. Are you getting the point? He didn't just nail sin and sickness. He nailed the sin nature. That's why the cross is there. The nature of sin cannot pass through the cross. Anytime a man yielded to the flesh, he kept the cross aside. The duty of the cross is to separate from the old nature and the new one. And he did a permanent and a good job. Oh my God, I feel something welling up. It's like an ocean of light in the spirit. I want to dwell here. I don't want to go. It's not about the things I'm saying, you know. There is light shining in the spirit. It's so strong. So when you see somebody say, the new creation can't be bound. You have to step back into what you have to. You have to step back to Ojobo to be bound. Anytime you were bound, you step back to where? Ojobo. The new creation does not understand that. It stays there and is wondering, what's binding this one? When will he catch his money? When will he stretch his hands and collect what is? When will he? Is bound. What fits it? What makes it to enlarge? You have not engaged it. You kept it bound. When a man doesn't pray, doesn't feed on the word, the new creation feels as if you are not aware he's there. Because to ignore the word and prayer and consecration is to decide to starve the new creation. Because that's what it feeds on. Just like the old man feeds on other things, the new creation feeds on that. That is why the new creation can be there and be a child in you 35 years after being born again. What have you fed it? Are you learning? Are you blessed? Show me my scripture. Is this where I am? Are you sure this is where I am? Okay, justification. Let me make an attempt to define in a way that you understand. This is the legal act of both declaring one guiltless and righteous. Not just guiltless, but righteous. This is spiritually, please. Another thing I need to add is this. Justification is in the sight of God. Write it down. Write it, brother. That's a serious matter. Justification is what? In the sight of God. It's only in the sight of God that we can be justified. Justification is in... Don't forget this. Because I hope you know that as far as Satan is concerned, you are not yet free. How many of you know that as far as Satan is concerned, you are still owing? As far as Satan is concerned, though, you are still not guilt-free. For him to condemn you means that he feels he still has something against you. Huh? Justification deals with every manner of condemnation. Are you getting the point? Without justification, justification is not just, is first an act, an event. It's an exact event that took place in the spirit. So, if it is an event, we can make reference to it. Because if you say it's an experience, you can say that one day you lost the experience. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because one day you can wake up, you don't feel that just. You don't feel that righteous anymore. It's not a feeling. Something happened. You can't unhappen that thing. It has happened, it has happened. If something went wrong, there is another means to rectify it. Not condemnation. We get back to the blood. We repent. The blood. Well, listen to me. Don't ever allow Satan to keep you in anything. Anything Satan is telling you is a lie. Listen to me. Even if what Satan is saying is correct, it's a lie. Don't ever believe Satan at all. There is no truth. Never. Even if you look at it, it's a fact. Eh? Like, hey. It will not happen in Jesus. But let's assume somebody fornicated. And Satan say, you fornicated. You have lost your calling. This is a lie. If somebody has the right to say that, it is God, not Satan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what I used to tell Satan. That's how I came out from condemnation. The way I came out from condemnation, I kept telling Satan, I don't have business with you. I only have business with God. Anything he tells me, I do. And for now, he has not told me I've lost anything yet. I cannot be walking in assumption that I'm under a cloud of guilt when God has not said anything. Let me wait for God. As I'm saying, let me wait for God, he will say, my son, don't worry. I know you are a babe. You make mistake once in a while. Keep going, keep going. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
Satan doesn't want to hear this. He doesn't want you to know it. He can trap you. You will never grow if you don't know this. You will never grow. You do fasting 21 days. On the last day, I'm telling you, on the last day, you mistakenly ate granite. He told you your 21 days fasting. It's a lie. Listen to me. This is where the problem is. If you actually believe it, it will be true. That's where you have worked. And that's why you'll be laboring. You won't see the fruit of the labor. Satan has deceived you. He has stolen what belongs to you. Say after me, Satan, give me back what you have stolen. Give me back what you have stolen. Let there be a restoration. Even if you made mistake and lost your health, lost your ministry, lost your gift, there is a sister here. The presence of the Holy Spirit used to be very strong over your life. Suddenly something happened. You made mistake and just lost it. For long you have been desiring for that day to be back, but Satan has convinced you that it can never come back. Aside the fact that you made mistake, you kept making mistake. But God is doing something now. Satan lied. Don't believe anything Satan is saying. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Help that sister. There's another sister. Man of God, the Lord is giving you back what you lost. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. He's giving it back. He's coming back stronger. The hair is growing back again. The hair is growing back again. The hair. The hair. The hair. The seven locks of power is coming. Before, when you stand in power, no man can stand. There is no more. But the seven locks. The seven locks are growing back. Show me your mercy, show me your face, show me your mercy, teach me your ways, oh, Adonai, oh, Adonai, show me your mercy, show me your face, show me your mercy. Teach me your way. Oh, 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 Adonai. Oh, 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 Adonai. You can be seated. You can be seated.
In Jesus' name. Okay, so let's press a little further in the next few minutes as we round up. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are not there, say wait for us. Where are you, Chidema? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man. What? Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by what? Works of righteousness. So there is a sense of, if I can use that word, a sense of deserving something that always hangs around the matter of justification. Are you getting the point? There is always a demand for work to be done for a man to be justified. Let me say it again. You can't be justified without work being done. There must be work. Anytime you hear righteousness, anytime you hear justification, work must be what? Done. It's about who did the work and what kind of work that was done. He said, not by works of which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of what? The Holy Ghost. Next verse. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. One more verse. Let's read verse 7 together. 1, 2, ready, go. I think in what I want to teach now, in this aspect of my teaching that I've entered, I think this scripture, this verse is one of the most important. He said, being justified, you are heirs of life. You getting it now?
Yes,
remember what I told you people, that there are three steps we want to take here. Justification. Second one is what? Third one is what? It means that justification qualifies a man. Are you seeing it? That being justified, that if you were not justified by grace, we can be heirs of this life. Heir means inheritor. Heir doesn't mean necessarily equal with Christ. Heir means an inheritor. You inherited life. That if a man is justified, he becomes qualified to inherit life. That means. Are you with me? Are you with me? Media, are you with me? That means the qualification to inherit life is justification. You must be justified. And for justification to take place, work must be done. Now, done in such a way that it is accepted. Acceptability is the code of work. And remember, I told you people that we are only justified in the sight of who? In the sight of who? In the sight of who? I hope you know you can be justified in the sight of man and be very guilty in the sight of God. I hope you know you can be justified in the sight of God and man can be still putting blame on you. A man got born again today, God forgave him, everything changed. His friends that used to drink and womanize with him say, you, if others change, if others rebel, is he you? That guy you knew last week is not the same guy. His slate has been cleaned. He has been justified. Justification cannot take place without you appearing in a court. It's like a court session. You were called and all your case was read. It is in this scenario that Jesus becomes our arbiter. It is in this scenario that Jesus becomes our intercessor. It is in this scenario that Jesus becomes our mediator. Give me my scripture. That being justified by his grace, we should be made inheritors according to the hope of eternal life, inheritors of eternal life. Now listen, every single person, know it or not, this is how spiritual things in Christ happen. First of all, the fundamentality of what we discuss is that the things we speak about are spiritual. And there is something about spiritual things. It doesn't really pay respect to time. Human time. The chronological time. So, there are two in this matter. If you ask me, I will add three. First time is when Adam sinned. Believe it or not, you appeared in court that time. You were not born, but you were in that court. And in that court, they sentenced you. We can't win it. So let's do OJB own. OJB own is that maybe he liked a girl and then maybe cornered the girl one side and then kissed the girl. So his sin is pardonable. But you killed, it's not pardoned. So let's keep pleading your case. Let's know whether it will work. I say all cases, big or small, has been brought to court, deliberated or not. Jesus would not have been that kind of high priest he is if he has not won all the cases. Listen to me. Are you with me? The kind of intercessor that Jesus is, and that is why the scripture said that he is not the high priest that is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That means no matter how unique and peculiar your case is, Jesus is conversant with it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? He is conversant. He will not be conversant. He was conversant with it before he went to the cross. So when he was paying the price and delivering his lectures, delivering his pleadings at the court, he was pleading for a case that is as bad as your own, even before it appeared. Are you getting it? This is the second time you appeared in the court. So you were with him. Before you have appeared, before every man, no matter what you have done, before you did it, Jesus habited on that kind of, he has obtained a verdict on that kind of matter. Though that verdict was not yours until you declared interest on it by giving your life to Christ. So when you believed on his name, it is a declaration of interest on the verdict that was obtained on your case many years ago. Are you getting the point now? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So at that declaration of identification with Christ, when you say you are born again, you are identifying with him. So you identify with him in what he is, and he identifies with you in what you are. What you are. Are you getting it? So, if according as the scripture has shown us, especially in that book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you start from verse 14, 15, one of the things the scripture is saying there is this. If one man died for all, then all that live cannot live for themselves. Are you getting the point? Now, what you should have suffered, somebody suffered it. Then what he would have done, you should do it. Are you getting the point? The scripture said in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, they asked a question that nobody knew how to answer. It took time for we to find out the answer to that question. It was when Jesus appeared on the scene, by his life, we saw a sign of how he wants that thing to be done. That revelation was actually committed to the ministry of Paul. And that is the fundamental thing he began to show us in the book of Ephesians. That even though this was revealed in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that it has always been part of God's plan. That there is a stream. The scripture asked a question in that Isaiah chapter 53. He said, who shall declare his generations? You have heard that question. Am I correct? We are about to cut this man off from existence upon the face of the earth. Who shall declare his generations? So every man that declares faith in Jesus Christ has become a declarer of his generations. So even though Jesus died for us, he now lives in us. The man that should have died and been forgotten is now alive because you believed in him. And you that should have died because you sinned is now alive because the man died for us. If you're with me so far, say amen. The third time you appeared in the court is when you came to give your life to Christ. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Now, you see, because the matter has been deliberated upon long time ago,
it was not hard for us to come to a conclusion. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
As soon as they checked the matter, they checked the books, they said, this one, they have paid for him. They said, no, let him go and suffer for 5 years. They said, suffer for what? That the work that needs to be done to deserve this has been done. They said, who did it? They said, Jesus. He has paid. Lift up your hand. Say, he has paid. So Jesus justified us. He justified us. You see, remember, it's before God that we are justified. How? In what means? He did not justify you as an individual. He justified you in identification. This is what I mean. The scripture said, I think in the first book of 1st or 2nd Peter, it said, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was seen in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Now, let me make a point there. It doesn't mean that Jesus as a person was justified, but in his identification as man. Are you seeing it now? That is the uniqueness of the person of Jesus. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
What I'm teaching you, if you don't listen to me, you can go to the scripture and misfire. There is what we call revelational misfire, doctrinal misfire. You cannot be, you might know, you can't arrange it this way. That's why I'm pleading with you to listen to me. This makes all the difference. Are you getting the point? The Holy Spirit wants to bring you to a place where you are given weapons, foundations. Huh? Are you getting what I'm saying? We are arranging it for you now. Now, listen to me. Jesus was fully God and fully man. In being fully God, he was equal with man, with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? In being fully man, he is subservient to God. You didn't hear me. This makes the difference for you. Huh? He is fully God, and in that respect, he is equal. That's what the book of Philippians chapter 2 was saying. He said he counted it not robbery to be equal with God. Huh? Yet he humbled himself to die, even the death of the cross. He was only able to die because he was man. And if you ever become man, you can be categorized in that context as a created being. So there is something that Christ is that no other person being is in the whole universe. That's why even the heavens committed administration to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? No other thing, no other being, no, they can't. The whole heaven was depending on the fact that Jesus will succeed in that journey. Man alone can't do it. God alone can't do it. So the enmity that we have was broken in Christ. So he made in himself to end one new man in himself. So for the first time, divinity and humanity find unison and union in Christ. You don't know what it means. It means that when it is required, Jesus will stand as God, and he's not laying any claim. He's fully deserving of it. In another case, when you appear before him, he will stand as man too. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
so when the Godhead, when God has a body, a feeling, there is somebody that can properly interpret it. And deal with what he requires to handle that matter. When man is burdened and have challenges, there is another man too that can equal. So that ability, humanity and divinity joined in one person. What better can you have? Are you getting the point? So what happened is, because Jesus died as a man, he has to be justified as a man. But he's also still God. Now, in representative dimension, he was justified in the spirit, so that every man that believes in him can partake of that justification in the spirit. So the justification was not for him because he is not the owner of that sin. But because he carried the sin of humanity, there is a need to justify him as a man now. But him knew no sin. He knew no sin. He knew what? No sin. Are you getting the point? So at that point that he was justified, he came before the throne. They checked him, checked the blood, checked everything. And they declared him everything about him. They justified him. Now, the thing about that matter is that it was not only him that was justified. In fact, it was not because of him that he went there, because he didn't need salvation. He is God himself. It was because of you. Are you getting the point? So, Christ appeared to be justified so that in his justification, you will be justified in him. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. You did not get to a point where you were justified as an individual, actually. It was you in Christ being justified. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If you step out of Christ, you are still the same guy. Anytime you step out of Christ, the believer's ecosystem is completely defined in Christ. Maybe somebody in the world, another thing, but if it is the believer, there is nothing God understands about the believer that is outside of Christ. And there is nothing God owes a believer that is outside of Christ. There is no destiny that God has for a believer that is what? Outside of Christ. That is the measure of God in all his labors with the believer. The measure of God in man is Christ. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Number two, I need to finish this. So I need to add, even if I don't finish it, still 2 pages remaining. Let me finish 1 page. Number two is made alive. Say after me, made alive.
Made alive
is the act and experience of reconnecting relationship and fellowship with the Father. The act and experience of reconnecting relationship and fellowship with the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, John chapter 11, verse 24. And you had he quickened. Listen, if you use another translation, hello? Are you with me? If you use another translation, this word quickened, your translation called it made alive. Raise your hand. If you use another translation, this word quickened is actually what? Say after me, made alive.
Made alive.
I didn't hear you. Say after me, made alive.
Made alive.
I didn't hear you. Say after me, made alive.
Made alive.
Who we are dead in trespasses and sins. Next verse. Wherein in time past you worked according to the curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Next verse. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Next verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Next verse. Even when we were dead in sin, had he made alive, had quickened us together with who? By grace he has saved. Next verse. And has raised up to us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. That means when man sin, man what? You are correct. Say it. When man sin, man what? Not fair. He died. You will always find out in the scripture, as I always tell you, that sin and death are always brothers. Very close together. Anywhere you see sin in any of his shades, there is death very close in many of his shades. So man sinned and man died. Are you getting the point? So if man has been made righteous, you are not with me. We sinned and died. If we are made righteous, that means we must what? You are correct. If we sinned and died, if we were justified or made righteous, we must what? Live. The direct consequence of being justified is that you will be made alive. The direct consequence of sinning is that you will what? Die. Say after me, made alive. Say after me, made alive. You were not made alive as a separate thing, as I explained to you. You were made alive in Christ. But I want to connect something. Remember, I told you that after you were made alive, you were gifted life. Show me that John 11:24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Let's see what Jesus answered. Oh, Father, I bless you for giving us these scriptures. I am so blessed by the scriptures. And I even thank you more that you show us the living things in your word. Look at what the Bible said. Jesus said unto her, what? I am what? The resurrection and the life. There is something he's trying to present here, and I believe we already know it. Number one is that whatever resurrection and life is, the woman is talking about an event. Jesus is talking about a person. That means that what she is hoping will happen first is contingent upon Jesus doing something. Listen to me. She believed that there is a resurrection coming. Jesus is telling him that you better hope that where I'm going, I succeed. Because if I don't succeed, the hope of resurrection rests in my person. Are you getting? That's the first thing. Are you getting? The hope rests on me. If resurrection will ever reach anybody, it reached the person because of who? Me. That's one. Number two, he's trying to tell this woman that resurrection is not an event that is to come. That resurrection, the one that he spoke about, is the one that he is here to give everyone that believes. The resurrection that comes as a result of an act of faith is what every believer possesses after justification. Are you getting the point now? I said in sin you died. In Christ you were resurrected. That is why I keep saying it. Resurrection is not being raised from the dead at all. They're not the same thing. Resurrection has nothing from, if you are raised from the dead, you will die again. If you are resurrected, you are not dying again. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
So that's one. So Jesus is trying to say that when man sinned, he actually died to God. That what he had with God, the relationship, the connection, he died. His God consciousness was terminated. So he was, things can't flow from God to him and from him to God. He died as far as God is concerned. In fact, the literal impact of that disconnection was felt in the fact that man began to drop. The spiritual death revealed itself in incipient death, such that man was able to live almost 1,000 years in the initial periods of that spiritual death. Am I correct? But over time, he reduced to 120. That means that consistent and continued separation as a result of that death resulted in us being shortened even in our physical existence. It means that separation from God is death. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we are separated from God. Remember, God is spirit. It means that the spirit of man was separated from God. And that means that spirit became subject to the soul, because there is no governing power in the spirit that is not from God. You didn't hear me? There is no governing power from the spirit that is not from God. We are led of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. Satan governs from the soul. Satan governs from where? The soul. So if you will lead again, we have to lead from the soul. That we mean that even the spirit will now be the slave of the soul and the lust that is there. Are you not getting where the challenge is now? When a man was just, he was made alive, that means that disconnection was what? Reconnected back. That's the first thing. Are you getting the point? So Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. What is he trying to say? Say, at one point I reconnect you back to God and then I give you eternal life. I am the resurrection. I am what? The life. So he's trying to say, I offer you two things in one. So you know what Jesus is saying here? I am the one that makes you alive. I am the one that gives you life. That is what resurrection means. Being made alive. That's what Jesus did. Now it occurs to you that essentially in the new creation, that there are two things that happen. Your spirit was reconnected back to God. That is what it means. That in that sense, it is a new thing. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Are you seeing the essentialities of this newness we talk about? But in the matter of reconnecting your spirit, it is not a new spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not a new spirit. It was a fresh work that was done. So in resurrection, what the work of newness in the new creation, the uniqueness of the newness in this context is kainos. Are you getting the point? We connected something back. We resurrected it. He died. We did what? But is that one that died with? Is not another. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But in life, we did not resurrect anything. We gave you something entirely new. Are you seeing the essentialities in this? The newness, you need to understand this basically. Are you getting it? So God did two kinds of work. He did work in the vessel. Are you getting what I'm saying? He that is joined with Christ is what? One what? One what? Say after me, one spirit. That means the fellowship and joining point between us and divinity is where? In the spirit. Now, that is not possible because God is a living spirit. And if you will join with God, you have to be resurrected from where you died in sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means that there is first a work on the vessel. That means the new creation is fundamentally in two dimensions. Two sides of the new creation. The vessel and then what is put in the vessel. What did I say? And then what? Let's say it again. What? And then what? What happens to the vessel? Say after me. It was resurrection. Wait. Resurrection happens to the vessel. A new work happens to what was put in the vessel. Don't forget this. So this is it. There is a vessel. That spiritual vessel that only can carry eternal life. Huh? That vessel was dead in sin. But Jesus made that vessel alive. It is resurrection. That same man that made it alive turned the other side and gave life into that vessel. That was why he said, I am the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
And life. Hey. I am the resurrection. I can reconnect you. I can give you more. So Jesus is trying to say, I'm here to reconnect you people back to the Father. But beyond that, I want to give you what you never had, even before you fell. That is why another essentiality of the new creation, the another newness of the new creation, is that it is superior to even the old creation before it fell. Because the old creation before it fell did not sin, but it didn't have eternal life. It is a vessel that was being prepared to host and mature in the eternal life, but it has not hosted it yet. In fact, the scripture represented in certain sense that it seemed as if God was happy that thing has not been touched yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you following me? Very critical matter. That means the real labor of divinity to make us into what they, because God wants to possess man. He can only possess man by his life. I've taught you now. Are you getting the point? That means as of the time Adam fell, God has not really possessed him yet. He can only possess him. That it is at that point that you actually enter, become into what God is in a physical sense. He expands within you by that his life. So the spirit of man that sinned and fell was the vessel. When Jesus died, as the resurrection, he quickened that and made it alive. But he also took another thing and added that was not in the former creation. What did he do? He added eternal life there. So first thing God did to you, he didn't just quicken you and reconnect it so you have fellowship with God and you are enjoying your fellowship. There is a labor. There is a work. There is labor. There is work. There is labor. There is work. God has an eternal project that can only be executed by the effulgence of his life. When his life suffocates you, you enter into what you are supposed to be in him. Because in the realm of God, you don't walk. You see, what we call walk in a human sense, in our natural sense, the way what is walk in God's sense is a becoming. It is naturally translated into walk when a man becomes something in God. Are you seeing it now? So that means as a believer, your labor is to become something in Christ. It is the measures of Christ within the believer that is the accurate test of the exact kind of work that can be done. If we have an activity, 10 days, whatever what will happen, the measure of work that was done is the measure of Christ. That means what we should pursue is the measure of Christ that is within the labels. That means what is more important is becoming in the ministrations of Christ as we journey into life. We become things that will enable God to walk within the circumference of that measure. God cannot walk beyond the measure of Christ. He is bound by the measure of Christ. He is bound by it. Oh my God, I hope you will get this. He is bound by that measure. When we pray and groan, part of the things we do is not to get things. So when people say, you are praying, you don't have results, they don't understand how the realm of the spirit is captured. We are trying to expand the measure that we already possess in Christ. Because real spiritual work can only be done by that what? Measure. The body of Christ and a generation can only labor to fulfill the purposes of God. The measure of their labor, their effectiveness in relation to spiritual things, their spiritual effectiveness is in the measure. Hey! If you heard me say amen. Amen. What am I going to do to this my teaching? Essentials. I'll just leave them and then we'll go. I have so many things to say. Number one. The new creature is essentially spiritual. That's the first essential newness of the new creature I want you to note. You would have seen it. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16. He said, even though we know Christ in the flesh, he said, henceforth know we him what? No more. That means even man and Christ in the you remember in 17, he now said, any man in Christ is a new creation. So before we enter the new creation, we disavowed everything that is fleshly and physical. Are you getting the point? And entered into the realm of the spirit. So whatever we discuss and whatever the new creature is, it is essentially spiritual. Say after me, essentially spiritual. Number two, the new creation is essentially defined in the measure of Christ. The new creation is essentially defined in the measure of Christ. What God sees in the new creation is Christ and Christ only. Number three, the new creation is essentially heavenly. That is exactly what the scripture is trying to say in the book of John chapter 3. Verse 3. Said, except a man be born again, that word born again is born from where? Above. That means the entity that we discuss about is a heavenly being. That's why I told you people that the church of Jesus Christ, who is the corporate representation of his person upon the face of the earth, is a heavenly man. That means the members of the body of Christ are essentially heavenly in their disposition. Are you getting the point? The scripture kept counseling you that set your eyes on things that is what? Above. Number what now? Number four. The new creation is essentially superior in life to the old. I think I just taught it now. Are you getting the point? Whether it is the old creation or the former creation. By old creation, I mean the one that has fallen in sin. By former creation, I mean the one that didn't fall, that was not yet fallen, the both of them. The new creation is superior to them. In what context? In what context? In life. Yes.
It is the eternal life that made it superior. Number what now? Number five. The new creation is essentially born of God. Now, when I mean born of God, I don't mean that it just came from God. No. Born of God is not just that, you know how every good and perfect gift come from God, that this my hair, God gave it to me. Yeah? Do you have shoe? Who gave it to you? God now. You know how things come from God? Good things, all of them, power, anointing. That's not what we mean by that the new creation is born. Born is not necessarily came out from. Huh? Born is generated. Like God generated himself in a human way. That's what the new, that's a generation from God. That's what the scripture meant by he that is born of God, generated from God. So it's beyond coming out from God. It's like God gave birth. That's actually what it means. That's what we mean by saying the Spirit gives birth. It's actually like God gave birth. You are offsprings of the Almighty. That's what it means. God gave birth. You don't know what it means. You are a God man. God gave birth. God gave birth. You are God walking on the earth. You are God. 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 God now. You are walking on the earth. You are God. You are God. Shake yourself. You need to know it. Oh. God generated himself and said, I want to walk the earth. Say after me, I'm a God man. They hear you. Say after me, I'm a God man. Some of you, when they tell you to speak, you won't say anything. That's why Otochangwere in corona. Huh? Even witches that is learning work today is trying you. There are some things you should not pray for. All this, let me tell you, there are some kind of warfare you should do. There are some that is taboo. It's taboo. You are still doing that kind of warfare. Listen to me. Bajina Kalikwani Hunok. Oh, Krikri Kanabu Kwoso Analien. We cannot stop Satan from roaming around. You are not reachable. Say after me, I'm not reachable. Number six. I think I will stop here. The new creation is essentially united with God in life and nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. Chapter 1, 3. According as his divine power had given unto us all that pertain unto what? Life. And what? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of what? Of what? So two things the scripture has already said here, you partook from the divine. Number one is what? A nature. The second one is in life. You are not equal with God in his deity. You are equal with him in life and what? Nature only. Can you bend down and ask God, whatever this means in my life and ministry, I enforce it now. Pray, pray, pray. Open your mouth and pray. Enforce it. Don't go back from this teaching the same. I can tell you free of charge that this is it. This is what you need. This is it. This is what you need. in Jesus mighty name.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant Apostle Edugu Dejiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edugu Dejiku. God bless you.